Okay, we're back on the air. Better. Recess. Calling our meeting back to order. We're on agenda item 6, which is ONCA 1783, an act to amend ONCA 1186 on the War Memorial Commission, removing the restriction that the Osage Nation Congress approve construction contracts over $25,000 and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Speaker Pratt. Speaker Pratt, how would you like to proceed?
Okay, thank you. All right, so I think not this last meeting, but the meeting just before, within the last month, I met with the War Memorial Commission as actually the chief and the speaker are ex officio members of the commission. So I was at the meeting and they had a discussion of, you know, the name inclusion on the memorial. So because I think they want to clear up any confusion, and the first change, well, there's two changes, but I'm starting out with the one about the War Memorial. They want it to be a veterans memorial and include all Osage veterans who have served, whether that it was specifically wartime or not. So that is a change, and that's why it will now say this. I gave you a copy of the new bill, and this is the old bill up on the screen. So all throughout the bill, where it would say War Memorial Fund, War Memorial, etc., all throughout the bill, it now says veterans. What copy is this?
It says
I'm actually thinking it does, and it's been changed.
It says War Memorial.
They gave me the wrong copy, so throw that away.
Where is 1783? It's not.
This is 1788.
But I need the one that's been changed.
Is there a committee substitute?
Yes, there is.
Is that it?
I'm thinking, where is it?
Is it in your pack?
All right, here we go.
Committee substitute in the packet.
You're wrong. Oh, she's saying you have a packet. I didn't know there was a packet. Do you have the correct one?
Yeah,
it's the committee substitute is in your packet. Okay, so throughout the bill, it says veterans.
I've got it pulled up.
Do you have a copy of the committee substitute, Ms. Miller?
There is.
There's
no copy.
Thank you.
Well, I'm looking at 1783.
Have we adopted the committee substitute
No.
yet?
No. Here
you go.
Or do you want to discuss it just a little bit before we adopt?
Yeah. Okay. So.
Again, it's on the screen.
So the change throughout the bill is from Osage War Memorial. Everywhere it says war, it should now say veterans.
In the title? Line 14?
14.
War Memorial Commission.
It's saying to rename. If you read before that, it says to rename the War Memorial Commission and War Memorial Fund. That's what the bill does.
Congressman Mason.
Mr. Chair, should we go ahead and adopt the committee substitute as we get into discussions and stuff?
We sure can. We've kind of done that.
You can do it either way.
Differently, and I did ask the sponsor if she would like to discuss it just a little bit prior to. Of course, it's the committee's. You're welcome to make
it. Well, I'd like to make a motion to adopt committee substitute bill number ONCA 1783.
Okay. Motion to adopt the committee substitute by Congressman Mason, seconded by Congresswoman Buffalohead. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Okay, so now we've adopted the committee substitute and we will continue discussing.
Okay, so throughout the bill, it will say, you will see that it says Osage Veterans as opposed to Osage War. And that is all throughout the bill. The other change is on 1186 on page 3, number 6, which is line 115, it says review and approve all construction contracts and approve all expenses on construction contracts in accordance with the bidding process law of the Osage Nation, provided that any construction contract in excess of the sum of $25,000 must be approved by resolution of the Osage Nation Congress. So that has been stricken. So that is the only major change other than the word war being changed to veteran. And
Congressman Mason?
In regards to that, could you go back to page one, line 14 of the definition of the act? And you said, what is changing in the wording of the act as it is printed here? You said something different than what is here.
On 1783?
The committee substitute, we said something is removed and something is...
No, it's saying to amend 1186, which is the War Memorial. So it renames the War Memorial Commission and War Memorial Fund. And to remove the restriction that the Osage Nation Congress approved construction contracts over $25,000. It is showing you, in the title, it's showing you that it's renamed.
To what?
Line 38.
In the...
Line 38, reference.
And it goes throughout the bill. It's veterans.
Veterans, okay.
Congresswoman Bethel had?
I was just curious if the author had considered breaking these apart, because I feel like there could be, I don't know, I guess we haven't had enough discussion, but they're two very different things. I mean, I'm in favor of if the commission wants to change it to from War Memorial to Veterans Memorial, I think that that's a decision that that they've came to that I support. But then the flip side of it, of this piece of legislation, is it's taking away Congress's ability to help move forward with the construction, while it removes us from approval of construction contracts over $25,000. And I don't know if how all of Congress feels about that, but this is one of these pieces of legislation that you may support part of it and you may not support the other half of it, and then it's what the good outweighs the bad. And I really don't like having to make that decision, because I just don't think it's fair. So I'll listen to discussion.
Well, good point, and we're definitely not to the point where we have a bill in its final form ready for vote. I did see Congressman Shaw come and get an amendment form, so I assume there's an amendment to be proposed. But prior to that, Congressman Hamilton, were you wanting to be recognized?
No, I didn't want to.
Okay, all right. I think Speaker got pulled out on something I think that's unrelated to her bill, so I'd like to continue a little bit of discussion and dialogue while she's stepped away. Congressman Maker, then Congressman Maker.
I apologize.
Well, I see that Mr. Cass is here. Maybe we could even talk about the construction plans, and maybe we can open up a meeting.
Can I?
Speaker Pratt.
Can I have the question repeated to me again? What Congresswoman Buffalo had, I heard part of it, the train needed to pull me out, is saying removing the restriction.
I just asked if you were willing to consider, if you had considered separating these out in legislation, because this is one of these pieces of legislation where I could find people voting, does the good outweigh the bad? I think that everyone at the table was probably supportive of changing it from War Memorial to Veteran Memorial, but not everyone around this table might be willing to give up Congress's right for approval for construction over contracts. And so it very well may come down to people supporting the name change but not supporting the other. And oftentimes, I think that it, you know, then if it doesn't pass, it's not saying that we don't support the name change, it just may mean that certain members aren't willing to give that the right for the contracts for construction.
Speaker Pratt, you want to comment?
Yeah, well, that is the most effective change that I'm asking to be changed. So, I mean, if they were going to vote it down for that reason, then I don't know that it's just going to hurt anything that it's called war as opposed to veterans. But, I mean, we've done this with other things. We've removed the restriction for resolutions for other projects to not have to come back to Congress for a resolution. And furthermore, I believe you all were having a conversation before I walked in and in reference to the email that we just received. And in that email, it specifically states that we're going to give this ability to places $1 million outside of the control of Osage elected officials. Well, I believe that we did that with the five-man board in Hominy, and I believe they have $4 million that's outside of the control at this point of the Congress. So I don't really know what the difference is. And it just allows them to keep moving forward with their construction without having to come back for a resolution of Congress. So I'm just pointing out that if this isn't unprecedented.
I see a couple hands that have gone up, but while you're still kind of discussing your bill, presenting it, I'm just, would you please explain, at least for my benefit and I think others, why do you feel compelled to take that congressional approval out for contracts over $25,000? That's what I'm curious about.
Well, I can have Mr. Cass, I'm going to go ahead and do that before I make some comments that maybe I don't need to make.
Chair, I have a simple question here. I'm not sure there's a contract for construction that is approved by Congress. Once you pass the bill, we execute the work on the executive side. I don't know where we bring a contract for construction back to Congress to approve before we sign it.
Okay, so to that, is this basically carryover language that was in the original bill?
Yes.
And it's always been there, it's been identified. Speaker, then Mr. Cass.
Yes, and I spoke to the original author of the bill, which is Chief Standing there, and he said he was completely fine with that. I asked why did you do that, you know, at the time, and he said that the competitive bidding has been addressed since then. So
okay. Mr. Cass.
Close to similar language has been removed from capital asset improvement legislation recently for a resolution approved going forward.
Right.
So I think my interpretation is that, you know, once we get ready to build something, again, we can't start until we come back to Congress and request a resolution to approve that work. And I think I'm accurate in saying we took that same effort out of the capital asset approval.
Exactly.
I think you're right.
Just last session.
Okay. Congresswoman Whitehorn had her hand up, and then I'm going to recognize Congressman Shaw. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Well, I believe that we appropriated the money for the Hominy Village project to the capital asset and improvement fund, not directly to a board, and I guess this, I'm looking at the funding language, the fund language of this bill. Maybe we need to review that and see if there's any language we need to change in that fund, because I'm not sure how that works.
Mr. Cass.
Mr. Cass might be able to enlighten me.
I think the legislation mentions that we utilize the funds in compliance with Osage Nation laws, so the law that would be in place to ensure that we follow anything related to construction would be our Competitive Bidding Act any contract over $50,000 are required to follow our competitive bidding act for construction or professional services related to construction.
And this is somewhat of a similar circumstance, and being familiar with the two funds and how we've, the discussions about congressional approval over contract, whether or not that's our role within this government or not. Describe, in your opinion, if this committee substitute is passed as written, specific to that provision, are they the same? What are the consistencies, or what differences would you see between that and the?
So this is construction with Osage Nation funds, and once we go through the process of completing the design, or securing a firm to take care of the finish this design for us, the competitive bidding act stipulates that the chief or his designee signs those contracts, and we're executing that process in compliance with the competitive bidding act. And then once we're ready to bid the construction, it would be the same process. We would go through our procurement officer to satisfy the competitive bidding act. Once the contract is ready, we're under budget, we have everything where we need to be to proceed, then the competitive bidding act stipulates that the chief would sign, or his designee would sign that contract. Does that answer?
For both the Hominy, the village,
yes,
improvements, and also this,
yes.
Are there any differences?
A little bit of the difference here is the commission. It spells out in law that the commission would have involvement in that selection process, if I remember correctly. Oh, they review and approve all construction contracts. So that's the difference. And for the Hominy Village, they are the stakeholder from a project management perspective. That's the stakeholder, the folks at the Hominy Village. We communicate everything we're doing through the village board, five-day board, and we've had numerous community meetings. Once it's time to administer the contract, that role doesn't rest with the village board. It rests with the tribal development department and the architects and contractor involved in that project.
And does the same apply to any professional services, both for pre-construction or construction? For, and it all falls within the competitive bidding act.
Yes,
for construction.
Yes,
gotcha. Okay. I'm straight there. Enlightening. Okay. Congressman Schock.
I guess I have a couple of questions. Before I have some remarks, I have a couple of questions for Mr. Cass. It appeared to us when they discussed their plan prior to this appropriation then passing that the War Memorial Commission had selected or been offered or told of the site where that would reside, which was, I believe, was north of the museum. Did the selection or the site that was offered to them to build War Memorial, did that anticipate any future expansion of the museum?
Mr. Cass.
So I think there's maybe two parts to that question. So I'll try to answer that last part. We, as the holder, I guess, of the space utilization and master plan for the nation, I looked at that plan and evaluated what spaces might be suitable for something like this, because the legislation for the War Memorial stipulates that it has to be on this campus. So that was an open area that has a courtyard that will be, in the future, if the plan moves forward, a courtyard that's going to be further north. And then the War Memorial would fit. There's place there for it. It doesn't impede construction of any facilities. There is ample space somewhere in the neighborhood of 150,000 to 200,000 square feet just north of the museum for any future museum expansion and additional space behind the museum. So I don't think that by looking at our plan, I don't think that impedes any future expansion opportunities for the museum. I don't, just from an aesthetic opinion of mine, I don't think we'd build a new museum in front of our museum if we're trying to maintain the historical and aesthetic appeal of that structure. we wouldn't build it in front of it, we'd put it beside it or behind it.
Okay, Congressman Shaw, is there any other question? Congressman Whitehorn?
After the War Memorial is constructed, I won't say if, I believe it's a certainty, can't say exactly when, if the War Memorial Commission does not select a director, as outlined in the bill, still in there, who would ordinarily oversee that or to assist the War Memorial Commission in maintaining that?
Mr. Cass.
So, there's two parts to this. One of those is, we're going to build a War Memorial, or a Veterans Memorial, with funds appropriated by the Congress for that purpose. That's one part, and my role under the Competitive Bidding Act is to facilitate that process with those end users, stakeholders. The other side of that is, who manages whatever fundraising activities they do after that, or between now and the time it's built and the time after it's built. As many of you have seen, and many of them have talked about it in some previous meetings, about the opportunity to purchase a brick with your family's name, or a veteran's name, or whatever that might be, whatever that might look at. That's for the commission to manage that and maintain that. And if additional veterans, as we all know, there'll be more, they would manage adding names to these monuments. That would be a function of the commission after it's built. From now in and through now on. Does that make sense, sir?
Yes. Now let me just make a comment. Okay. Well, the reason I asked that last question is because, you know, here, if you go back up to page two,
hold on.
Well, you can see there's three, this whole section four has to do with appointed director. Get heard over here. granted, it could be part-time or full-time, but, you know, it may be that the commission is waiting till a later time to do this, but the very first thing I thought when I saw this, even if it were to be part-time, is there's some additional expense there. And as I looked at the plans for that, I go, why would that need a director? Wouldn't Bruce Cass's division, you know, kind of maintain that? You know, the physical structure, not, I didn't mean fundraising activities. Why would you need to have someone, you know, maintain that? So my thought was, you know, why would this be still needed as an additional expense?
Mr. Cass?
Mr. Chairman, there's to answer that question, there's a level of work that needs to be done. There's a list of them, just repeating from the meetings with the commission. There's a list of veterans that needs to be checked, double-checked, triple-checked. They put in effort to get names from the public, the Osage public, about veterans to add to that list. That's typically... There's some busy work that has to be done there, whether it's called a director or a contract director or whatever it is, part-time person, whoever does that. There's a level of work that has to be done there before a certain period of time when we decide we're going to build this, we have our numbers in, here's the kind of granite, stone, rock, whatever it is that we're going to put these veterans' names on. Someone has to determine whether that's legitimate. Are we doubling up on names or are we not? So that's the level of work that would go into there. I wouldn't think that would be my role as to make that determination. You know, a lot of conversation about that. Who goes on there, you know? Does their credentials go with it? Yes, sir. Those are the questions that they're working out and moving forward. Right, sorry, right.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes, I'd like to go back to Congressman Shaw's first question about placement, because we've had an email that we're looking at placement. So just to get it straight in my mind, you said, well, you're not going to build an annex or add on to your museum out in front of it. And to me, the front is what faces the road and what faces this parking lot. So my question is from Street View, is that, what street is that?
Grandview.
Grandview, from Grandview, driving up, if I were to pull up on the curb and look down the sidewalk to our museum.
You would see it just like it is now.
So I would see it just like it. Where is that placement going to be?
The placement would be on the right-hand side of the sidewalk, and it'd be off a little ways from that area of the Veterans Memorial.
Approximately how far has the discussion?
From a concept, we're at a concept stage.
Gotcha.
So whether exactly where it's not nailed down, it's just a general area. So it's good. It could be 50 feet, could be 100 feet.
Is it due north or is it kind of offset, kind of a little bit to the northeast?
Mr. Chairman, I'd recommend that we go out there and look and all.
That would be fun.
Well, we may consider that.
Can I continue on? So, to me, having this discussion at this table really just nails down the fact that there's not really, that we really don't have a placement of the things that we're going to do here at our campus. Where it's, I know that you feel like it should be a flow of things and be able to change. I think that's the question that's being asked here is how are we really doing this? We have an idea, so something goes up. So that's what we're considering. We voted on to have the War Memorial on the campus. Now, it's just a question of where the planning of where it's being put and who is actually doing that planning. I think that's the main question on the table for this portion of this legislation. Thank you.
Mr. Cass.
So the planning, as I mentioned before, just to reiterate, we didn't blindly place it.
I understand.
We took the campus master plan and space utilization study, and based on those space markers that we foresee we will need in the future, or may need in the future, we avoided all of those areas for development. For structures. Expansion of the museum, there's adequate space north of the museum for 200,000 square feet of space. There's adequate space there.
Okay, yeah, that pretty clear there. Ms. Rebar, then Congressman Mason.
Okay, just a comment. The reason we'd like to have the War Memorial or the Veterans Memorial site, you know, close to the museum, is so that they complement one another. So we're looking at the end user, that if somebody is to come up and go to the museum, we're assuming they're going to want to visit the memorial as well. So it's about, you know, just complementing one another in the location.
Okay, thank you. Congressman Maker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Mr. Cass explained the location and the criteria, you know, in detail, because as long as it doesn't interfere with the master campus plan, which it doesn't, it appears to me that it's just like a person's personal preference of where they would like to have this. And I think that all the work's been done on this, and we do have a process. And also, I don't think it needs to, you got to consider the elders. There's going to be a lot of elderly veterans who would like to see this.
Of course. And,
you know, they have to be, you know, handicapped friendly, I would say.
Yes, sir. Okay, Congresswoman Buffalo Head.
Page 1, line 26. Start the capital B in veterans and insert lowercase b. It's a grammatical error. Touch it now instead of engrossment.
Okay, yeah, it's a lowercase b right below it. So.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a motion to.
Page 1, line 26. Veterans is capitalized and it shouldn't be. It needs to be lowercase b because it's not talking about the commission or the memorial.
Gotcha.
So it's a grammatical error.
We need a second to discuss.
Second.
Okay, second by Congressman Mason. Discussion? We've had, I understand and agree, any other comments, discussion? Congressman Mason.
This is housekeeping, in other words.
All those in favor of the amendment say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, the amendment passes. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Since we're doing housekeeping, page 5, line 220, strike the word litigation.
Expenditures out of this litigation fund. Okay.
Second.
Page 5, line 222, strike, or line 220, strike litigation. By Congresswoman Whitehorn, it was seconded by Congressman Mason. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, that amendment passes. Okay. All right, is there any additional discussion, and is anyone considering any amendments? If not, then let's move it. Congressman Shaw, are you working on an amendment over there?
No, for a different bill. I decided not to submit one for this bill.
Okay, thank you, sir. Hey, Chair would entertain motion for movement of the bill. Congressman Hamilton.
I move to report out to the floor of Congress Bill number 1CA 1783, committee substitute, as amended, the due pass recommendation.
Second.
A motion to report out 1CA 1783 as a committee substitute, as amended, with the due pass recommendation by Congressman Hamilton, seconded by Congressman Mason. Discussion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay. 1CA 1783 reported out with the due pass recommendation. Okay, we should be able to go through this pretty quick. It's almost noon. Go ahead and knock this out. Next item on the agenda is ONCR 1728, a resolution to request the United States Congress to reject the President's proposed budget cuts to American Indian programs directly affecting Indian country. The sponsor is Speaker Pratt. Speaker Pratt, please.
Okay.
What is it?
Thank you, Bruce.
This is self-explanatory. I'll make a motion to report out ONCR 1728 with Congress with
the
due pass.
Second.
A motion to report out ONCR 1728 with the due pass recommendation by Congresswoman Buffalohead. It was seconded by Congressman Mason. Any discussion? Congressman Schott.
I apologize to the committee. I haven't had a chance to look at this before today. I don't think that the content is at issue here. I do think the wording could be a little more, could be substantially more effective. But I understand you're wanting to pass this out. I hesitate to try to plunge forward on the floor without the support of this committee. But let me just give you an example here as part of the discussion, whether to wait. I really think this ought to say government's trust responsibility, because most of what the federal government does when they give us funds is they are trying to honor the federal government's trust responsibility. It's an important legal doctrine by which forms the basis of the federal government's funding for Indian health, for Indian education. And maybe that seems minor, but it's all based on that trust responsibility, which is founded on previous case law and court decisions. So, I thought that was an important word to put in there. I was just going to try this direct attack. And I just see a lot of position papers sent, at least on Indian health nationally. And it's just usually not quite, you don't usually see direct attack and, you know, superlatives, complete disregard. I'm not saying, there's some superlatives in there, they're a little bit overemphasized that I would have reworded it if I had time. And I apologize for not looking at this earlier. It's my own error. I'd be happy to try to do some very fast proposed amendments to the language, or I could do it on the floor. They're really not complicated, because this is not an appropriation bill.
Hold that thought, please, sir. Congresswoman Buffalo Head?
I would support that, to do it on the floor.
Okay, that'll give me more time, yeah.
I agree with adding trust in there, and I would agree with taking out things like direct attack and complete disregard. I just see this as, this is one of those pieces of legislation that to me, it's, you know, there's not much to discuss. It's kind of fluff. It's important, but I mean, it's not, it's a resolution.
Okay, so.
Not a law, and it's not an appropriation.
So your preference is to?
My preference is to pass it out and let Congressman Shaw make changes to make this a better piece of, or a better resolution on the floor.
We do have a motion and a second. I'm trying to stay within that, but I also still want to respect this is still on the committee's table. Speaker, how do you feel about that? Is your?
Yeah, I'm fine with that because there was a piece that wasn't included as well, so I'd like to get it in there, so.
And is it okay if we go ahead and pass it out and then you and Congressman Shaw work on it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Okay, any more discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of reporting ONCR 1728 out to Congress with a due pass recommendation, say yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, report it out.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, motion to adjourn by Congresswoman Bucklehead, second by Congressman Mason. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Return. And that's all of the bills we've got. All six of them. Glad you could make it. Glad you made that.
I'm glad everybody missed me.